Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation first. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, Maharaj Parikshit, as you have inquired from me as to the duty of the intelligent man who is on the threshold of death, so I have answered you. Purport. In human society all over the world, there are millions and billions of men and women. And almost all of them are less intelligent because they have very little knowledge of spirit soul. Almost all of them have a wrong conception of life, for they identify themselves with the gross and subtle material bodies, which they are not, in fact. They may be situated in different high and low positions in the estimation of human society, but one should know definitely that unless one inquires about his own self beyond the body and the mind, all his activities in human life are total failures. Therefore, out of thousands and thousands of men, one may inquire about his spirit self, and thus consult the revealed scriptures like Vedanta Sutras, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam. But in spite of reading and hearing such scriptures, unless one is in touch with the realized spiritual master, he cannot actually realize the real nature of self, etc. And out of thousands and hundreds of thousands of men, someone may know what Lord Krishna is in fact. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that Lord Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, prepared the Vedic literatures in the incarnation of Vyasadeva for reading by intelligent class of men in human society, which is almost totally forgetful of the genuine relationship with Krishna. Even such an intelligent class of men may be forgetful in their relation with the Lord. The whole bhakti yoga process is therefore a revival of the lost relation. This revival is possible in the human form of life, which is obtained only out of the evolutionary cycle of 8,400,000 species of life. The intelligent class of human beings must take serious note of this opportunity. Not all human beings are intelligent, so the importance of human life is not always understood. Therefore, manishinam, meaning thoughtful, is particularly used here. A manishinam person like Maharaj Parikshit must therefore take to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and fully engage himself in devotional service, hearing, chanting, etc., of the holy name and pastimes of the Lord, which are all Hari Katha Amrita. This action is specially recommended when one is preparing for death.
Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvisesa Sunyavadi. Paschatyadesatarine. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha. Kripa Sindubhya Evacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar. Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So, somehow I'm up here in front of you on the request of the devotees. I tried my best to try to get out of it, but devotees were pushing me very much. Unfortunately, Divyanam Prabhu couldn't make it this morning. Last minute, a few things happened, so he couldn't make it. So, requesting the blessings, the mercy of the devotees, that I may share something valuable, something Krishna conscious. So this second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam begins with inquiries from Parikshit Maharaj. In fact, actually, inquiries happen at the end of the first canto, in the 19th chapter. There are important questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj at the end of the first canto. Parikshit Maharaj asks, what is the duty of human beings? What is the ultimate duty of human beings? Especially those who are about to die. Parikshit Maharaj also asks, what is to be remembered? What is to be chanted and what is to be heard? And what is not to be heard, chanted, and what is not to be remembered? So, understanding the nature, the importance of the nature of these questions, Sukadeva Goswami, even before offering Mangalacharan, taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, offering respects to spiritual masters and so on, he immediately goes on to answering these important questions. Just in case some people in the audience may get lost while he offers Mangalacharan. Right? So the Mangalacharan he offers a little bit later, which we'll hear of later on in Canto 2. Right, in the upcoming chapters. So he immediately goes on to answering these questions, because these questions are very, very important, and he wants everyone to hear and everyone to hear with attention. So first of all, he goes on to speaking about what is not to be done, what is not to be chanted about, or who we should not chant about, what we should not hear about, and what should one not remember. So he says, the activities of the Grahamedis. one should definitely not engage in these activities. One should not chant about these activities. One should not speak about these activities. One should not hear about these activities. And one should not remember these activities. And he speaks very, very heavily of engagement of grahamedhi activities, or engagement in grahamedhi activities. How this is very, very low class. This is very, very much animalistic. And then he goes on to speaking about what should one chant about, what should one hear about, what should one remember, or who should one remember. And he speaks about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and service unto him. So one should chant about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should speak about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should chant his holy names. One should hear about the Supreme Lord, hear the holy name, right? And one should remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should remember his activities, his pastimes, his qualities, so on and so forth. So these are the activities one should engage oneself in. And one should avoid the activities of the grahamedhis. The grahamedhis are those personalities, the activities of grahamedhis are activities of sense gratification. Right? Without consideration of the purpose of life, without consideration of devotional service, without consideration of the Supreme Lord. So these are the grahamedhis. They are solely interested in sense gratification, in activities of sense gratification. They're solely interested in self-pleasure. Sometimes it may seem like that they are serving others. They're serving their families. They're serving their children. They're serving society. But in fact, if we scratch a little bit, we go a little bit deeper and really reanalyze their motivation, then they're only interested in self-satisfaction, self-gratification, self-preservation, like that. So Sukadeva Goswami says that one should engage in the activities of devotional service. One should hear, chant, and remember the personality of Godhead. Chant the holy names, hear the holy names, like this. Then Parikshit Maharaj asks questions in terms of how one can remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How one can come to the point of having the Supreme Lord as object of one's meditation. Because in conditional life, our objects of meditation are objects of sense gratification. So how does one go from a meditation on objects of sense gratification to meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How can we make the Supreme Lord as Dhrana Ashraya? Dhrana Ashraya. Or Dharana Ashraya, excuse me. I'm pronouncing it slightly wrong. It's Dharana Ashraya. Yeah. So shelter. Ashraya means shelter. Dharana means object of shelter, like that. So how can we make the Supreme Lord object of one's meditation? How can one take the Supreme Lord as the shelter in one's life? So then Sukadeva Goswami responds, right? And therefore these first three chapters are known as the three steps to God realization. Three steps to God realization. So this particular chapter, chapter 3, is pure devotional service, the change of heart. So this chapter is speaking about how one can realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotional service, beginning with sadhana bhakti. Right? The previous two chapters, chapter 1, Sukadeva Goswami speaks about how one can come to realize the Supreme Lord through meditation on the universal form of the Lord. So that was chapter 1. Chapter 2, the chapter we just finished yesterday, Sukadeva Goswami speaks about how one can come to realize the super soul by Ashtanga Yoga, by various other processes. Right? So in this way, we can come to devotional service, we can come to the Supreme Lord by meditating on the super soul. And here this chapter speaks about how one can come to realizing the Supreme Lord by devotional service, and specifically sadhana bhakti. At the end of this chapter, Sukadeva Goswami says, Brahma studied the Vedas 3 times over. Not just read the Vedas. He studied the Vedas 3 times over. And Srila Prabhupada translates this particular verse near the end of the chapter. And he says that Brahma suggests after studying the Vedas 3 times that one should engage in sadhana bhakti as the best way to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So generally that's the case for most people, that we have to engage in sadhana bhakti to come to the point of pure devotional service. Right? Hardly is the case that one immediately comes to the point of pure devotional service. There has to be special mercy. Or one must have engaged in some service and very much sadhana bhakti in one's previous life to be engaged in pure devotional service in this life. Not like that. So therefore, the recommendation, the best way to come to realize the Supreme Lord is sadhana bhakti. Sukadeva Goswami is confirming this, and he cites that Lord Brahma, after studying the Veda 3 times, this is what should one do. It's the best way of coming to God realization. So, here at the beginning of the 3rd chapter in this particular text, Sukadeva Goswami thanks and appreciates Parikshit Maharaj's questions and his eagerness, and how intelligently he's asked these various questions for the benefit of all human beings. So maybe what we can do is we can try to go deeper into this translation, try to unravel it, and then also, depending on time, we can also discuss parts of the purport as well. So if you can repeat after me, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Maharaj Parikshit, as you have inquired from me as to the duty of intelligent man who is on the threshold of death, so I have answered you. So, as Parikshit Maharaj is asked these important questions, Sukadeva Goswami is immediately answered those questions, and now he's thanking, Sukadeva Goswami is thanking Parikshit Maharaj. Yep. You inquired for me about the duty of intelligent man, or you inquired for me about duty, the ultimate duty at the time of death. So I've answered you these questions. And specifically, it's interesting, person who is on the threshold of death. Right? So the word here in Sanskrit used by Sukadeva Goswami is mriyamananam. Yeah? So the point really here Sukadeva Goswami is making is that everyone is on the threshold of death. We don't know when we're going to go. You know, like that. Any moment. Any time. Yeah? So, in this way, you asked important questions. You asked important questions. And because anyone can go at any moment, right? Anyone can go at any moment. The answers to these questions are relevant for everyone. not just one who is about to die, for everyone. So this is the ultimate duty of human beings, okay? To perfect their lives. This is the way of perfecting one's life, to come to the point of pure devotional service. So in this chapter, Sukadeva Goswami is going to speak more about pure devotional service. He's mentioned somewhat of sadhana bhakti and devotional service previously in the two chapters, but he's going to really go into pure devotional service in this chapter. Purport. In human society, all over the world, there are millions and billions of men and women. And almost all of them are less intelligent because they have very little knowledge of spirit soul. It is interesting when we meet people on the street, when we meet persons, our friends, our relatives, when we speak with them, it's not so difficult to bring them to the point of understanding that they're not the body, they're the spirit soul. With just some simple examples, right? Simple logic, like that. It's quite easy. But to really act on the platform of the soul, right? Very few people do this. Very, very few people do this. And that's really the real understanding of the spirit soul. We're not this body, we're the spirit soul. To actually act on that platform. Even as devotees, to act on that platform is not so easy. Of course, we're practicing, we're endeavoring, but it's not so easy. So here, where Sukadeva Goswami is saying, or Srila Prabhupada is saying, though they have very little knowledge of the spirit soul. Shishirada Gokula Nanda ki. Sisi Sitaram Lakshmi Hanuman ki. Shishi Gaur Nitai ki. So here where Srila Prabhupada is saying they have very little knowledge of spirit soul, I suppose we can understand it to mean that people may know, meaning they may have some idea and they may have some understanding, or logically we may understand that we're not the body, we're the spirit soul, but to act on the platform, they're not acting on that platform. People are not acting on that platform. Right? And this is very few in a billion, in a million, Prabhupada is saying. Very rare person who really understands that we're not the body, we're the spirit soul, and is actually acting on that platform. Almost all of them have wrong conception of life. For they identify themselves with the gross and subtle material bodies, which they are not in fact. So what is the reason? The identification. Why is it that even though logically someone may understand that they're not the body, they're the spirit soul, why then they cannot act on that platform? Prabhupada is saying, because they identify themselves with the gross body and the subtle body. They're conditioned to the gross body, to the subtle body. They're attached to the gross body, to the subtle body. The other day, we were on book distribution. We were in Camden. And it's interesting to just observe people in terms of, you know, what they're doing, how they are dressed, how they're behaving. And all the devotees, we were there, many of the other people, you know, we were observing. We were finding it cold with, like, you know, thermal on, a jumper, a fleece, and then a coat on top with gloves on. But we were seeing some of these people, some of them are in shorts and t-shirt, walking around, right? And some of them, we were laughing to ourselves, some of them didn't have much of a body anyway, but still they were so identifying themselves with the body. They are dressed in such a way, and some of them quite provocatively dressed as well. And they're not even caring for like code because of this attachment to looking good and presenting themselves in a certain way to others. And this mental concoction that others are appreciating, others are looking at me, and therefore I am good, I feel good. You know, like this. Such is the intense identification with the body. Such is the intense identification with the body. That people are willing to go through so much pain and suffering and withstand the cold and so on and so forth. Like this. So this is what Prabhupada is saying. People are so attached to this. What to speak of the subtle body? Subtle body is hard for us to understand and relate with. People are very much attached to this gross body. Right? So much attached to this gross body. So much time people spend to dress up. So much money they spend to buy various types of clothes. Right? Designer clothes. I was surprised one devotee was given a donation of one piece of cloth, a coat. And I've never heard this in my life. The coat costs £1,500. It cost £1,500. Sometimes as devotees, you know, they're thinking, okay, my coat is worn out, it's getting old, winter is coming, marathon is coming, maybe if I go out, I'll need a coat. So we're looking, we're praying, maybe someone will send me a coat or something like this, some devotee will give their old one. Or sometimes if some devotee is, a little bit more on the quality side and like that, so they may start looking for a coat, right? They may look online or they may go to shops. And you know, okay, £50, £100. But beyond that, it's like, it's way too much. It just doesn't make sense. So this coat was £1,500. And I was looking at it, the same coat I can probably get for like £70, £100, like that. But people are paying. And people are very serious about it. Right? It's not a joke. They're actually very serious about it. They feel that by getting this coat, they will feel good. And, you know, just because it's cut or kind of tailored, you know, 1 millimeter or a few millimeters here and there around the body, right? They feel, yes, this will make me look good. This is me. This coat will make me look good. My body. Me means my body. Right? This will make me look good. And therefore, I'm a good person. I feel good. You know, like that. So such is the deep attachment with the body. And then we have others who are very deeply attached to the subtle body. Right? Sometimes we may not even realize it. They may not even realize it. Right, isn't it? Amongst also the devotee community, we're very much attached to our opinions. And it's like my way or highway. And we'll spend hours trying to convince another devotee. Sometimes on the internet, on the Facebook, we'll spend hours. Instead, we could be engaged in devotional service. And we ask those devotees, Prabhu, how's your reading going? Yeah, it's difficult for me reading, you know, so busy with the family, so busy, you know, so busy with work. So busy with work. But most of the time is spent in terms of trying to convince others that what I'm saying is right. Prabhupada said this. Prabhupada had this exchange. You know, like this. And many of the times they don't even refer to the scriptures. Right? They will choose certain things from certain devotees, what they heard about Prabhupada. Like this. So even subtly people are attached to their way of thinking. Right? A devotee is our way of thinking, our opinions, we're right. And then there's something else, justice. Justice. There has to be justice. this person did this to me, this devotee did this to me, I gotta get back somehow. Right? I gotta prod them somehow. Like this. As if to say, like, material nature is not overlooking all the happenings. And the material nature and the demigods and so on are not the perfect servants of the Supreme Lord, more perfect than us. As if to say that the Lord, the Supreme Lord, is also not overlooking material nature. Put aside the Supreme Lord, put aside material nature, the demigods. I am going to make the changes. I am going to show someone what is justice and how right I am. You know, like that. Yeah? So, it's amazing. It's amazing how we also, you know, as devotees, we get caught up in this. Maybe not so much the gross body. Some devotees may be struggling with identification with the gross body. But, of course, as we practice devotional service, we become less and less attached to gross body. But our subtle body, right? Devotees may also find themselves, they're very attached to the subtle body. Way of thinking, justice, I'm right, my opinion, like this. Unless it's our duty, we have a certain position, it's our service to make sure that there is justice, right? Yeah, make sure that things are managed appropriately. Maybe we should ask ourselves, what is our business in unnecessarily investing time and energy in these areas? You know, like that. Sometimes we may even convince ourselves that that's devotional service. Right? Yeah. Maybe it needs to be checked with the seniors, with the authorities, with the spiritual master, if that is your devotional service. To put things right in the society. Right? To put things to justice, if that is your service. Otherwise, we have very limited time. We have very limited time in terms of engaging in devotional service. We have to come to the point of pure devotional service by the end of this life. We have to be remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead absolutely by the end of this life, when we're about to die. So we have very little time. And if we don't, we'll have to take birth again. Guaranteed we have to take birth again. Because what we're saying is, Krishna, I still have things to do in this world. Right? I still have my desires in this world to be fulfilled. So Krishna says, oh, okay, fine. Take birth again. Take birth again. You don't want to engage in pure devotional service? You don't want to be with me at this moment? Fine. Continue being in the material world. Right? Get a slap a little bit more. Right, get hit a little bit more. Get embarrassed a little bit more. Get knocked out a few more times. Until you come to the point of really pure devotional service. So we have very limited time. We have to be very, very careful that we don't get distracted in any way. Even within devotional circles, we don't get distracted. That we remain focused. We practice in such a way that we attract Krishna's mercy, we attract the devotee's mercy to come to the point of pure devotional service. Right? Somehow, as we're practicing, we gotta really do it with feeling. We gotta cry for Krishna. We gotta want it so much that Krishna becomes merciful, devotees become merciful, they pray for us, and we come to this pure devotional platform. Right? Otherwise, it's a waste of life. It's a waste of life. Right? We'll have to take birth again. We'll have to start again. We have to go through everything again. Yeah. We have to be careful we're not distracted. We don't become distracted by trivial things in this world, right? Trivial things which are there in Krishna consciousness, you know, like this. So this is what Prabhupada is saying. This is the reason, identification with the body, the gross body and the subtle body. That's why even though we may be on the, we may understand that we're not the body, we don't actually act on that platform. We haven't actually come on that platform. We don't want to come on that platform because of this attachment, because of this identity, because of maintaining this identification, maintaining this attachment, like that. So this is just the first couple of sentences. We just discussed all the purport. We could go on to discuss many, many things in the purport. Prabhupada makes many important points. Many lessons can be there. But we can stop here. But Prabhupada is saying, this is very rare. In conclusion, Prabhupada is saying, those who are intelligent, manishina, they really delve deeply. They go deeply into understanding who they are and acting on that platform. This is manishina. These are the manishina. These are personalities like Parikshit Maharaj. So we have to come to that point, right? To intelligently function in such a way, inquire intelligently, and then act on that platform. Manishina. Are there any comments, questions? Maybe Oli first. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, thanks for the class. I've just noticed when I'm doing breakfast and lunch transfer, I'm always focused on or thinking that I hope this devotees don't take so much so I can have some. Uh-huh. I'm always focused on what I can get. Uh-huh. How can I change that to how can I give? Is there any practical ways to do that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, we'd like to thank Oli Prabhu for serving breakfast and lunch so nicely, participating in that service. Yes, it's difficult. It's difficult when you're serving, right? How much is there? This particular item, which is my favorite, will that run out? Like that, what should I do? Should I save? Should I not save? Like that. If one is very agitated, which is most of us, like that, better to save ourselves plate first and then nicely serve the devotees, rather than reluctantly serve the devotees, sometimes even grudgingly and, because certain devotee may take a little bit extra, we like almost become angry at them. I hate that devotee. I wanted Rasgulla today, but he took it all. Like that. So sometimes internally we may feel like... So one practical thing is save yourself a plate before you begin serving. That's one thing. We can practice. Sadhana bhakti means practice. So sometimes, okay, letting go. Practicing to let go. Okay, I'll give and let's see what happens at the end. Like that. And there's always lunch anyway. And there'll be some items there anyway. Like that. Worst comes to worst, I can get something from the bakery. Like that. Or I can get some maha later on. I'll be the first in the queue for maha. Like that. So practicing, adjusting. This is something else we can try to do. Like that. Experimenting. That's something else. Let's just experiment. Let's just give today. And let's see what happens. Right? Not worry about myself. Let's see what happens. And in most cases, we're eating too much anyway. We need to lose weight and we need to be more healthier and so on and so forth. So in fact, actually, it's good for us overall. Like that. So these are the few things that come to mind. Okay? Thank you. Truna Prabhu was next.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes. And then we'll come to Prayojan Prabhu and then we'll stop. Because we want devotees to take breakfast on time.
Gauranga. John?
Yeah.
Just to comment quickly there. It's not going to happen so easy that you peacefully serve when your favorite preparation running out, when everything running out. I mean, I'm for so long here, still have this tendency. So the most important thing is to serve with very proper consciousness. And it's not going to happen just by, okay, I'm not going to take. But Bhakti Charu Swami says, you save your plate first, And then you're very peaceful. You can serve with love everybody. Even Prabhupada would do this sometimes when they were serving Rasa Gula or something. Prabhupada would just giving the gulab jamun or something. And then one disciple said, Prabhupada didn't say for herself. Prabhupada showed him under the desk, see. I said, so best save yourself. All, or you just renounce at the beginning. I'm not going to take, which is difficult. So the most important thing is consciousness. So save your plate first. Or at least save some favorite preparation aside. And very peacefully you can serve. You'll see the consciousness. You don't worry about running out, not. Then you can really serve properly. That's one comment. Here, like comment and a question also, that you mentioned, we give people jnana, try to preach, but you know they can easily understand that not this body, but to act upon is very difficult. Even for devotees, of course, it's very difficult to act. So for that, doesn't just require simple cultivation of knowledge, but serious sadhana, which is painful. Without this, you cannot realize you're not this body, really. Like, it's just not possible. You know, serious sadhana, anyway. So, or if one acts on that way, you'll think he's crazy, because like avaduta, you know, totally detached from the body. So it's not so easy, you know. So, like, just question, any trick how to maintain this mentality, you know, to be out-of-body experience always, to have this out-of-body experience always. You have to cultivate this constantly. It's not something, you know, circumstances constantly throw you into body conception. Doesn't matter how much you are prepared. So it must be some, you must devise some tricks constantly. Uh-huh. So like any kind of hint what you do, and I mean how this consciousness slowly can creep in and pervade our own behavior.
Yeah, so Trunapa was asking how to maintain this consciousness, consciousness of the spirit soul, where the spirit soul, when not the body. So yeah, very good question. They say surrender unto the Supreme, right? Surrender to the process is not kind of one time. It's a constant endeavor. Right, it's a constant practice. So in our lives, we're looking for opportunities. Devotees look for opportunities to see how they can surrender more, how they can act on this platform of the soul rather than the body and the subtle body, gross body and the subtle body. So devotees are looking for opportunities. So when, for example, something goes wrong in our life, okay, here is an opportunity for me to see how I can act on the spirit soul platform rather than on the bodily platform. Someone says something, right, even though we may have not done anything wrong, or seemingly. What is Krishna trying to teach me here? You know, like that. So every opportunity, and there are many, many opportunities in the day, every moment there are opportunities for us to really act on the spirit soul platform. And as we do more and more, right, we'll come to the perfectional platform where we're constantly on this platform. We're on this platform. And there's no now endeavor required. Like, for example, I used to do athletics. I used to run for a club, right? So when I was in the regime of practice, running long distances, you know, kind of going through the endeavor of the practice, actually didn't seem like such a big thing. It didn't seem, it was almost automatic. It was almost, it didn't seem so painful. But when you initially begin, when you start to develop strength, and when you're kind of beginning the momentum, it's very, very hard. But once you're in the regime, right, it's very, it becomes just second nature, that this is what you're meant to do, this is how it's meant to be done, and it's not so painful. It's not so painful. So same thing happens when we're taking up to sadhana bhakti. As we practice more and more, we will find that many people find chanting very difficult, chanting one round very difficult, but devotees who are well practiced, it becomes much, much more easier for them. Right? To get a new person to do chanting, they can't sit for 5 minutes. They can't do one round. But the devotees who are well practiced is like, this is what I do every day. So yes, there is still some endeavor required because we haven't come to that perfectional stage yet. But that 16 rounds is like, it's like what a devotee does, like he has a shower. This is what they do. Right? So 16 rounds is done like that. Yeah, so similarly, all aspects of our life, we're practicing in such a way so we can come to that perfectional stage. But we have to continue with the practice. We have to continue with the practice. And together with the practice, I mentioned that somehow we got to practice in such a way, not just practice for the sake of practicing, but we got to practice in such a way that we're able to attract Krishna's attention. Right? We're able to somehow see if we can do it with feeling. If we have to see also, or do it in such a way that we're able to attract devotees' mercy. Because it's not our practice that will ultimately get us there. There has to be mercy. There has to be mercy. So somehow we got to practice in the mood of trying to attract that mercy. Right? In the way of trying to attract that mercy. And when it's done with a feeling, right? When it's done in such a way that we're dealing with the devotees nicely, we're dealing with the deities nicely, we're also wanting to improve ourselves in so many ways. So then devotees are seeing, Krishna is seeing, and then also when there are feelings in place as well, right? Then we'll come to the next stage. We'll come to the next point, which is Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Right? Raganuga is where we want to get up. We want to chant our rounds. Right? There's something there. We can't quite explain. Right? And then we'll, you know, as we continue with that, we'll come to Bhava Bhakti, which is the effect of all those practices and all that work. Like that. So that's when we actually come in contact. Bhava Bhakti is the point when we come in contact with the Lord or Lord's internal potency. You know, like that. Right? So anyway, just some thoughts. Sorry for going over time. I think we should stop here. Thank you for your patience. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki.